You've got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke. We'll talk about the word of the Lord tonight. 17th chapter of the book of Luke, 20th verse. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And he said unto the disciples, "The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part unto heaven shineth unto the other part unto heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and is stuffed in the house, let him not come down to take it away. He that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, that one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Whithersoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. You know, a lot of people, they question the fact that there's going to be a translation of the saints. There's a lot of dispute as pertaining to whether or not the Lord is coming before the tribulation period, or whether or not God is coming for the saints after the tribulation period. Some people hold to the fact that He will come before the tribulation period to take away the saints, and some say that He will come after the tribulation period in Revelation 19, where the Bible speaks of the first resurrection. And so then there is a lot of dispute. There's one thing that I'm convinced of, that whether one or the other is right, I know one thing for sure, He is coming after the saints. This much we all should be persuaded of. Whether we believe that it will be after the tribulation period, or whether we believe that it will be before the tribulation period, there's one thing that we ought to settle in our minds, and that is the fact that He will be back, and He will come for the saints of God. And so then tonight, when I think about the words of Christ, I have my conviction just as they have their conviction. And you have your conviction just as I have my conviction. I firmly believe that there will be a translation of the saints of God. Now, I don't press the issue when we say rapture, because there is no biblical terminology for the word rapture. That is a man-made application. It is an intellectual application. And though many people are indoctrinated with it, yet it is not biblical, no more than the word millennium is biblical, which is also a man-made application. But preaching the word and speaking of the Bible, we know that there will be a translation. And the Bible tells us that God's way of taking the saints begins, first of all, with a gradual change. It is called the translation rather than the rapture. The human terminology is rapture, but God's terminology is translation. And when Paul speaks of the great mystery, he speaks of it as being the change. And he says this change is from glory to glory. So then what we need to settle in our hearts is that we've got to do more than just sit around and wait for the coming of the Lord. You know, the word rapture can really be besetting because we can get into a state of apostasy and we can just sit around and wait for what we call the rapture to take place and take us out of this world and find that when God makes the change, that we will be left behind. You know, it's like a person that goes to school to graduate. They go to get their diploma. But they could just start the school, sit around day after day, and take it, you know, for granted, as we say, that at the end of the school season that they're going to get a diploma or that they're going to graduate, and find out too late to their disappointment that you have to do something to be rewarded a diploma. You have to do something for God to catch God's attention. God said, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. You make an effort toward me and I'll make an effort toward you. He said, you walk contrary to me, I'll walk contrary to you. If you resist me, I will resist you. And so then we have to make ourselves available to God and we have to do something toward Christ to be able to catch his attention and to find God's favor. So then when we speak of the translation, when we speak of the rapture, the word rapture meaning caught away, when we speak of Thessalonians change as the Bible gives it, then we ought to associate with that some activity on our part, some endeavor on our part, some working for God on our part, in that the Bible tells us to go on unto perfection, not turning again to lay the foundation of repentance, of dead works and dead faith toward God. But let us go on to the doctrine of baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and these things will we do if God permit. So then we ought to associate with the change some endeavors on our part. You see, when God speaks of the change, he speaks of it like this. And we are changed from glory unto glory. We are changed as we behold the glory of God as in a mirror. We are changed from glory to glory as we see his glory, as we reflect the glory back to God, and as we absorb the virtues and characteristics of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then in doing this, we find that it is a gradual change. I'd like for you to think about it just this way tonight. I'd just love to take my time and talk to you just a little bit. Think about it like this. When they got ready to leave Egypt, there had to be some preparation. God said you're going to leave Egypt, but I want you to make some preparation. You're not just going to go out of Egypt without any preparation, because there's a lot of people in Egypt. And there's a lot of people in Egypt that's not going to escape the wrath of God. But you that plan to escape the wrath of God, then there's some preparation that you must make. Now then, we're getting ready to go out of Egypt, the Lord said. And he said, if you want to go out of Egypt and you want to be safe and escape the powers of Pharaoh and the oppression and this miserable, wretched life that you're in, said, then you do the thing that I tell you to do. Said, take a lamb of 1 year, and that without spot and without blemish, let it be a male of 1 year. And said, take this lamb according to the size of your family and kill this lamb and take the blood of this lamb and apply it over the doorpost. Put it over the doorpost of your house. Take some hyssop, dip it in the blood, put it over the doorpost, and then put it on the right side of the door, and put it on the left side of the door, and then put it down at the bottom of the door. Said, you do this now, because there's going to be a great darkness that comes over Egypt. And then during this time, The death angel is going to sweep through Egypt and is going to smite the firstborn of every family unless the blood is over the doorpost. Now, you know, when you say the firstborn of every family, you're talking about being born into this world. You're talking about your natural birth. You're talking about the first man that's born into this world. He is the firstborn. And God says that he is under the penalty of death unless the blood of Jesus Christ is seen on the doorpost of his house. Now, Peter said, as long as I'm in this house, I feel it meet to stir up your pure mind, which is the mind of Christ, toward the things of God. He said, I stand at the heart's door, or the door of your house, and I knock, he said, and if you'll open the door, I'll come in and I'll sup with you. So then when we see this, we're getting ready to go out of Egypt. There's 2,500,000 people that's fixing to walk out of Egypt. God is fixing to make a great move. So he said, you kill the lamb now, and we're getting ready for a move of God. Take this blood and put it over the doorpost. What a beautiful symbol of Calvary. Here it is, the blood that's over the doorpost. When we put the blood over the door, then we see the blood that stained the head of Jesus. We see the crown of thorns that brought forth the blood. And then when we put the blood on the right hand and on the left hand, we see the blood that stained the hands of Jesus, where the nails was driven in. And then when we put our blood down at the bottom of the door, we see the blood that stained the feet of Jesus as the nails went into his feet. And thus we see Calvary, and we see the cross, and we hear Jesus speaking to us, saying, I am the door. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. My brother, tonight, if God doesn't see the blood of Jesus Christ over the doorpost of your heart, he will not pass over you. That great death angel is passing through the land, and he's getting ready to pass over you. He's getting ready to pass through the land and smite the firstborn. Everyone that's born in the flesh is going to pay the price of death because you're born into this world of sin. That great angel is getting ready to fly through the midst of heaven and cry and smite the firstborn. So then tonight, if you're not partakers of the Lamb of God, if you're not partakers of the blood of Christ, if you haven't put the blood over the doorpost, then tonight you need to do something to get right with God. We're getting ready to go out of Egypt. How many of you tonight are really getting ready to go out of Egypt? Let me see your hand tonight. If you're getting ready to go out of Egypt, brother, there's hundreds and millions of people in the world today that's not going to get out of Egypt. I thank God tonight that we have the wonderful privilege to leave this world behind. We've got that wonderful privilege to go away to be with Jesus. We've got that wonderful privilege to bypass the grave tonight. Did you know not only can we be saved, not only can we be a Christian, but did you know it's possible that you don't even have to die tonight? Did you know that you don't even have to die tonight? Did you know the Bible tells us that Enoch did not die? Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. Did you know that there is a generation, or do you know that there is a generation that is going to bypass the grave, that's going to bypass death, and they're never going to lay down in the dirt, and they're never going to throw the dirt in their face, but they're going to be translated like Enoch was and go out of this world. Hallelujah. God tells us in his word tonight that there is a great mystery concerning the church. We call it the translation. The Bible said, behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. We'll be changed from mortality to immortality, from corruptible to incorruptible, from terrestrial to celestial. And we'll be changed from this mortal being of death and sorrow and heartache into that great, wonderful, celestial one that will never suffer, that will never see pain, that will never have an end to life. So then tonight, when we think about this wonderful thing, we must do something
There must be a preparation. I wonder tonight how many of you that are listening to my voice, I wonder how many of you have made a preparation. I wonder how many of you took time to pray. I wonder how many of you have took time to call upon the name of Jesus Christ. I wonder how many of you tonight have been born again by the Spirit of the Son of God. Have you been born again tonight? Have you made preparation tonight? Have you done anything to live holy tonight? The Bible said we should perfect holiness in the fear of God, and that we should have our fruits unto holiness. And then the Bible said the end thereof eternal life. And God said, I am the Spirit of holiness. And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. For I am the Lord. I am the Spirit of holiness, he said. There is no life without God. God is the Spirit of life. And what kind of Spirit is God? He is the Spirit of holiness. He is the great Father of light. How can I serve God? The Bible said I serve God with my spirit in the spirit of holiness. And the Bible said without holiness, no man will have life. No man will see God. No man will come into my presence. He said, you be holy for I am holy. You know, a lot of people say, Brother Pike, I believe in being holy. But I believe in being holy in spirit. I believe in being holy too, folks. And I believe in being holy in spirit too. But the Bible said to be holy in body and in spirit. God expects us not just to be holy in spirit, but to be holy in body. If we're going to redeem this body from death, we're going to have to be holy in body as well as in spirit. You know, the church world today is blinded. Preachers across the world are blinding the people today and telling them all they have to do is just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to know the Bible said faith without works is dead. If you don't have some works toward God, you can believe all you want to. The Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do well. But the devils also believe and tremble. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? We're going to have to believe in God. And we're going to have to manifest the faith of Christ by doing the deeds of God. So then tonight, when we talk about the rapture, when we talk about the change, that means that we're going to have to do something. If we're going to get out of this world, be with God, we're going to have to make a preparation. We're going to have to repent of our sins. The Bible says concerning the day of Pentecost when this great preacher got up and preached. Jesus had given him the keys to the kingdom. Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And one said one thing and one said another. He looked at this great fisherman Peter and he said, Peter, what do you think about it? He said, who do you think I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. Peter, you never got this in college. You never got this in school. There's been no intellectual indoctrination that ever revealed this to you. This is a spiritual revelation. My Father, who is a spirit, hath revealed this unto you. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter. He said, and upon this rock in the Bible said, who is a rock but our God? He said, upon this rock, Peter, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll build my church upon this rock, Peter. For thou sayest that I am the Christ, and unto thee I give thee the keys to the kingdom, and thou hast the ability and the power to open the kingdom to them that will believe on Jesus Christ. Old brother Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost. You know, the Jews had for a long time been a self-righteous people. They had been a self-righteous people. God had dealt with them in the early ages, had brought them out from Egypt. There they had been a self-righteous people. God tried to talk with them, but they got more holy than thou. And they'd separate themselves from the people. And they'd call the other people dogs. And one day the Son of God came walking in their midst. And he began to reprove them. And he began to say, you don't have the Word of God. And you don't have the life of Christ. And you don't have the Spirit of God. He said, all you are is a religious formality. And all you've got is the tradition of the elders. And you teach for doctrine not the commandments of God, but the commandments of men. and he began to upbraid them and begin to preach to them. This wonderful Jesus came, and they said, "We have Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses." Said, "We don't know whether God spoke to you or not." And he said, "If you'd have been the children of Moses, you'd have recognized me." Said, "If you'd have heard Moses, you'd have known me." Said, "Moses spoke of me and said that someday God would raise up a prophet like unto himself. And it would come to pass that whosoever faileth to hear that prophet would be cut off from among the people." So he began to preach to them. And they thought God was just their God. And they thought the Gentiles was just a bunch of bastard children, as the Bible says. Or they were a bunch of ignoramuses that God wouldn't have anything to do with. And they referred to them as dogs. But one day Jesus came. And he spilled his blood at Calvary. And then he told them in Matthew 28, as they met him in a place there, that he had appointed unto them, Judas having committed suicide. He took the 11 in the Matthew 28 and he said, "Now listen to me." He said, "You go ye into all the world and preach this gospel to every creature." And he said, "You baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And you teach them to keep my commandments wherever you go." And the Bible said that they went straightway to Jerusalem and tarried there till they were endued with the power of God from on high. There in the upper room they went, and they listened to the wonderful moving of the Spirit, and they heard that great, wonderful Holy Ghost as he began to move like a mighty wind, and as tongues of fire came down out of heaven and stood upon each of them. This wonderful blaze of fire moved down out of heaven. And there the 120 in the upper room, they listen in this great, wonderful spiritual move of God, this power of God, this blaze of fire, this same pillar of fire that led Israel by night, this same pillar of fire that was with Moses back then, the day when they come out of Egypt, that same pillar of fire that represented the blood that was over the doorpost that brought them out of the land of Egypt. Here that same pillar of fire began to move, and it moved upon each of them, and the Bible said as a tongue of fire it came down upon each of them that heard this wonderful moving of the Spirit and that took the words of Jesus, and this great wonderful pillar of fire set upon each of them, and the Bible said they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Now then, here Peter stood up in the midst of them, this great mighty fisherman stood up in the midst of them. He began to preach. And he said, "Folks, with wicked hands, you have taken and crucified the Lord of glory. I would that you did it in your ignorance. I would that you did it because you did not understand. And I'm going to give you a chance to see if you did it in your ignorance. And I'm going to give you a chance to repent of your sins. And I'm going to give you a chance to do the thing that God wants you to do. I'm going to give you a chance to get salvation." And the Bible said he commanded them to repent of their sins. He said, "And every one of you, repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, that you might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For it's unto you and your children and to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And he said, "There's salvation in none other name but the name of Jesus. And beginning at Jerusalem and to the uttermost parts of the earth, salvation shall be taught in his name. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Jews had taken it for sure that God was the God of the Jews and the rest of the world were dogs. But I want you to see something. All of a sudden, this rumbling and mighty rushing wind came. All of a sudden, this great tongue of fire fell. All of a sudden, the place was shook. All of a sudden, a great man rises up and starts preaching. All of a sudden, from every nation under the heavens, there came forth somebody. This was a great Pentecostal Jewish festival. That's what the word Pentecost is. It comes from the Old Testament of the Jewish festival when men were forgiven of their debts. And God, knowing that he was going to take away the sins of the world, he used that for a typical thing and a type and a shadow. And so then on the day of Pentecost, when Pentecost had fully come, Everything was in full swing, as we say, concerning that Pentecostal festival. There was from every nation under heaven devout Jewish people. All of them were Jews. And they'd come to that Pentecostal feast. But the thing that's so staring is that being in another nation, they spoke another language. Everyone in a different nation spoke a different language. And God, willing to show that He was the God of all creation, that He was the God of all nations, willing to let the Gentiles know that they had a God as well as the Jewish people. All of a sudden, this great Holy Ghost began to preach through the mouth of Peter. And somebody said, "Hey, did you hear him speaking in our language?" And somebody else has to say, "Wait a minute, he's speaking in our language." And somebody else has to say, "Wait, no, he's speaking in my language." And then all of them together said, "My God, he's speaking in everybody's language." He said, "They're speaking in our language wherein we were born." You know, he say, "He speaks my language. They speak my language." God spoke their language. And suddenly they realized that God was the God of the Gentiles, that God was the God of every nation and every nationality that was under the sun of that day, speaking in tongues to let them know. And then all of a sudden Peter rises up a little later in the council of the apostolic leaders. He said, "Brethren," said, "don't you remember how God made a difference? Choosing me to go down to the Gentiles. And there at Cornelius' house, I opened the door to them as well as to the Jews." A lot of times we say God used Peter to open the door to the Jews. But if you remember, he opened the doors of the kingdom of God to the Jews and to the Gentiles too. He opened it unto every nation. He stood down there at Cornelius's, and he opened the door to those people down there. And God, saying that Cornelius' prayers and offerings came up before him as a great memorial, God heard the prayers of Cornelius. And God sent the great man Peter down there to preach the gospel to him, that he might receive salvation through the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That wonderful door was open in heaven. Old Brother John, the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, the church age is ending in the third chapter. The fourth chapter of the Bible said John looked away to heaven. And he said, "Folks, there is a door that is open in heaven. There'd never been a door open in heaven before. But all of a sudden, here's a door open in heaven." Brother John, just a few short years after the crucifixion, about 33 A.D., and then from that crucifixion over to about 96 A.D., John, exile on the little Isle of Patmos, just off of Asia Minor, he saw the great revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw the expose of God within the veil of the human flesh of the Son of God as he was rent at Calvary and smitten by the Father for our sins. There he looked away to heaven. He said, "There's a door open in heaven. Brother Peter, you've opened a door. You've opened a door. The law and the prophets were until John, but now the kingdom of God is preached. Thy kingdom come, Father, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. The law and the prophets until John, but since that time the kingdom of God has been preached." And Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And since that time the gospel has been preached in Apalachicola. Since that time the gospel has been preached in Florida. Since that time the gospel has been preached in California. Since that time, the gospel has been preached in the islands, in South America, in the far and flung corners of the world. Jesus Christ has sent the gospel to every creature. All over the world, the gospel is moving today. And I thank God that I have just a little part in it. Ain't you glad tonight that God's given you a part in the moving of the Spirit of today, that you might take part and have a reward in that day? So then when we think about this wonderful thing called salvation, the door is open in heaven. The door is open in heaven. They said, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said, "Beloved friend, listen to me. Be spiritual." All them natural Jews said, "You say that you are the Messiah." They had their minds so much on the belly, so much on the natural things of the world, so much on the educational powers that day, until they were completely blinded. Even Paul, the great apostle, was so intellectual, he was completely blinded until God let the scales move from his eyes. But there the Jews were, and they said, if you're God, if you're the Messiah, if you're this one that's been prophesied of down through the centuries, then I'm sure at this time that you'll rise up and conquer our enemies and you'll set up this great kingdom and we'll be your people. But the Christ within that Jesus spoke back. That Holy Father that is the Spirit spoke back. That great eternal God of life spoke back and said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, my servants would fight. But my kingdom is not of this world. He said, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation, neither shall they say, lo or here. He said, for the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. And there was a door open in heaven. The blood was put over the doorpost. Calvary was open. And the veil was rent in twain. Are you listening? And the veil of the temple was rent in twain. He sat by the temple. He said, destroy this temple. I'll raise it up in 3 days. And those carnal-minded Jews, those natural-minded people, said, why it took so many years to build this temple? Looking at the natural temple, all of these many years it took, and you say you're going to build it in 3 days. And they couldn't understand. But the Bible said after the resurrection, they understood that he spake of his body. They understood that he was the temple of God. John in the Revelation said, behold, I saw the tabernacle of God among men. I saw the temple of heaven among men. I saw the tabernacle of God among men. John said, I saw the body of Jesus Christ. I saw the church. I saw the temple that Paul spoke of. That power of the living God tabernacling in a human body. And I saw this temple. I saw this tabernacle. Peter said, as long as we're in this tabernacle, I saw this temple. I saw the body of Jesus. I saw that tabernacle. I saw that temple as it walked and talked in the midst of mankind. I saw God as he tabernacled within his body. For the Bible said, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost, and God dwells within you, and God talks in you and walks in you. And the Bible said, if any man defile that temple, him will God destroy. John said, I saw this temple. Jesus hung there. The lightning flashed. The thunder rolled. The rocks was rent in twain. And those that mocked him looked up as the heavens turned dark. And somebody said, surely this man must have been the Son of God. And the Bible said the graves broke open. And out of the graves came those that had been dead for many years and began to walk through the streets of Jerusalem. You know, I've walked down the streets of Jerusalem. Have you ever walked down the streets of Jerusalem? I've walked down the streets of Jerusalem. And I've walked down the street where he carried the cross. And I've looked and I've felt within myself. I thought, God, I'm walking where the blood of Christ Jesus was spilled. I'm walking in a land that underneath the sod lies Mary the Virgin. Underneath the sod lays Father Abraham. I thought, Father, I'm walking in a place where Jacob is sleeping. And I'm walking in a place where the apostles has laid down the rest. And I'm walking in a place where Elisha sleeps. And I'm walking in a place where Jeremiah, the great prophet, is asleep. And I thought, what a great land, what a fearful thing. Here they are all under the sod. And even old brother Joseph said, folks, when you go out of Egypt, said, you take my bones with you. Said, don't you leave my bones down here. Oh, hallelujah, take me back to that homeland. And they said to Daniel and they said to the others down in Babylon, they said, sing us the songs of Zion and play upon your harp. And Daniel and the others said, how can we sing the songs of Zion when we're not in our homeland? How can we be inspired? How can we be moved by God? How can we sing those beautiful songs of Zion? Said, we've hang our harps on the willows. Oh, brother, let me tell you something. Your heart won't sing with joy. You can't sing the songs of Zion. You can't rejoice in the Spirit. If you get out there in the world, if you get away from God, if you get away from the inspiration, if you get away from that wonderful blessing of the Almighty God, you can't sing the songs of Zion. You can't rejoice anymore because you're out of your homeland. You'll have to hang your harps on the willows. Serving God is joy, peace, righteousness in the Holy Ghost. So then, the temple was rent in twain. There he was hanging at Calvary. Now listen. The temple was rent in twain. Destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. And the Bible said the veil of the temple was rent in twain. How was it rent in twain? And they understood that it was his body. How was it rent in twain? You know the word twain means two. How was it rent in two? It was rent in two when God separated the Lord from the Christ. He separated the Lord from the Christ. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain. He separated the Lord from the Christ. And Peter tells us in the book of Acts, and Jesus made in himself twain. And Jesus made in himself two. And Jesus made himself both Lord and Christ. And the Bible said the temple was rent in twain. And the Lord was separated from the Christ. And the Christ was separated from the Lord because that veil was rent in twain. I wish we had time tonight to talk about the revelation. I wish we could just talk tonight of why that it was rent in twain. Why God had to separate the Lord from the Christ. What did it have to do with you and I? What did it have to do with what John saw when the great tabernacle of the living God was in the earth? My, what a beautiful, exciting thing it is to know what God has done on the behalf of the church. My brother, tonight, just speaking simply and just talking down to earth to where we can understand it. Have you had the blood applied to the doorpost tonight? Have you had the blood applied to the doorpost tonight? Did you know that you are the temple of the living God? Did you know that you are the body of Jesus Christ just as Jesus was the body? Did you know that he's the head of the church and you are the members of his body in particular? Did you know that you are the temple of the living God? Did you know that when Jesus died at Calvary that God rent that temple in twain so that he could rend your temple in twain? Did you know the Bible said at death the spirit goeth back to God who gave it? That your spirit, your inner man, as the Bible refers to it, and your outer man have been separated one from another by the body of Jesus and by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin by the body of Jesus Christ. Buried with him in his death and baptism. Count that body of sin to be dead. Count that body of sin to be taken away. For as many as been baptized into Christ to put on Christ. As many as went down the water in his lovely name, buried the man that's dead by the body of sin. And did you know tonight that God doesn't look down and see your sinful body tonight? Did you know that God cannot see your sinful body tonight? Did you know that that firstborn tonight has been smitten at Calvary? And that firstborn is laying in the grave tonight. And God doesn't see that firstborn, but he's looking at that man that's been born again, that inner man that Paul spoke about. And did you know at death, when you reckoned yourself to be dead by the body of Jesus buried with him in baptism, that your spirit went back to God who gave it? But the Bible said God hath right now translated you into the marvelous kingdom of your God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the name of Jesus has been preached. And the kingdom of God has been preached. Since that time, the kingdom has come. Now, Father, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Father, redeem this earth the same way that you have heaven. And tonight, your body is buried tonight. Your body is dead tonight. If you've been buried in the name of the Lord, if you've called upon the name of the Lord, if you've reckoned yourself to be dead with the body of Jesus unto sin, if you have put on the Lord Jesus Christ, the wedding garment, You know, he told him, said, don't you come into my presence without that wedding garment. I counsel of you to buy raiment that's been tried in the fire. Did you know the body of Jesus went through the flames of hell and has been tried in the fire? And that's why he told you to put on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, to make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is the wedding garment and it is the garment that's been tried in the fire. It's the only thing that stood the fire, and you've got to have that wedding garment tonight. And the Bible said, if you come in without it, I'll bind you hand and feet and cast you into the outer darkness. My brother, sister, tonight, have you got the wedding garment? Do you dare to go into his presence without putting on the Lord Jesus? Did you know tonight that your sinful body was smitten at Calvary? He that knew no sin was made your sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Did you know tonight that your body of sin, your firstborn, is buried in a watery grave? Did you know that he killed your body at Calvary and he took your place in sin that you might take his place in righteousness? And he died out of the presence of the Father that you might live in the presence of the Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? So that he might receive Brother Pike. So that he might receive you. What a wonderful thought tonight to know that God has buried our sins in the sea of forgetfulness. Like the song said, and in the sea of forgetfulness, God has buried our sins. There is as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. The songwriter said, my sins are gone. Are your sins gone tonight? I tell you again, the temple has been rent in twain. It's been rent in twain. The Lord separated from the Christ. Destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days. And the Bible said they understood not that he spake of his body. They understood not that he spake of his body. Destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days. And the Bible said after that he was resurrected from the dead, they understood that he spake of his body. And there at Calvary, I say again, the body was rent in twain. The veil of the temple was rent in twain. The Lord was separated from the Christ. And Peter said he made in himself twain. He made in himself two. He made in himself both Lord and Christ. And there the Lord was separated from the Christ. For the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Being the body of Jesus tonight. Being the church of the living God tonight. Being the tabernacle that John saw on the earth. Being the temple that Paul spoke of. Tonight your body is dead because of sin. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are alive by the spirit of the inner man. You are alive tonight by the spirit of the inner man. My beloved friend, when they started out of Egypt, everyone that did not have the blood of the Lamb over the doorpost, that angel flew through the night and he smote that firstborn. And I say again, when you're born into this world of the first birth, you are the firstborn. But when you're born again of the great Spirit of God, you have the blood applied. And you're not the firstborn anymore, you're the secondborn. And so as the great angel flew through the night, he smote the firstborn. We are getting ready to go out of Egypt. We are getting ready to leave this world. We are getting ready to go into the heavenlies. For the Bible said, God hath chosen us out of this world and hid us with God in Christ, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restitution or the restoring of all things. We've been hid with God in Christ. You that are carnal tonight, you that are natural-minded tonight, you that think on the things of the world tonight, you that are spotted by the world tonight. The Bible said, hating the garments that spotted with sin, pulling them out of the fire. The Bible said, hating the garments that spotted by the world. And the Bible said, keep yourself from the things of this world. Come out from among them and be a separate people. And I will receive you, saith the Lord. We are getting ready to go out of Egypt. And the Bible said, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, that you visit the orphans and the widows in their afflictions, and that you keep yourselves unspotted from the world. So tonight, we're getting ready to go out. The great move of God came down in Egypt, and the blood was put on the lintel, and there was the blood on the doorpost, and there was the great move of God. And the angel flew through the night, and God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And as that great angel flew through the night, everyone that didn't have the blood over the doorpost, my brother, sister, God smote the firstborn in that house. If you want eternal life tonight, if you want to live forever tonight, then you're going to have the blood on the doorpost. If you want to live forever tonight, beloved friend, you're going to have to be partakers of that lamb that was slain down there in Egypt. Hallelujah, what a wonderful thought. John said, I saw that lovely tabernacle of the Almighty God walking in this earth. And I saw people blaspheme the name of that tabernacle. He said, I saw the beast blaspheme the name of that tabernacle. The Bible said, do not they blaspheme the worthy name by which you're called? Don't they make a joke out of it? God's church tonight, God's body tonight. He said, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, members in particular of the body of Jesus Christ. John saw the body of Jesus in the earth. God tabernacling in the earth. God walking in you. For the Bible said you're the temples of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is in you tonight. The Holy Spirit walks in you tonight. John said, I saw that tabernacle. I saw it in the earth, and I saw the beast blaspheme the name of that tabernacle. Now listen. I saw the beast blaspheme the name of that tabernacle. Did you know that the Bible said all of the world wondered after the beast? Are you listening now? Did you know that the Bible said all of the world wondered after that beast? You say, Brother Pike, who is that beast? In that garden when God made man in his own image, there was a beast. And that beast was the nearest thing to a man. And that beast was the one that was evil. That beast was the one that enticed. That beast was the one that interfered with the things of God. From that old twisted tree of knowledge, did you know that educational system of today, that old twisted idea of your own, that knowledge that you have, your own reasoning, did you know that it's causing God problems today? It's got its own way of life. It's doing its own thing. It doesn't want to listen to Christ. It doesn't want to listen to the Word of God. It doesn't want to honor what God has to say about it. And the Bible said all of the world wondered after the tree of knowledge. And it said all of the world went after the frolics of the world. And it said everyone that's born to this world loveth the things of this world. And the Bible said, if the love of this world is in you, the love of the Father is not in you. And it said, all of the people, everyone, wondered after the beast. Who is the beast? The Bible says, they that are not sons and daughters of God, they that are not born of the Holy Spirit, they that are not the sons and daughters of God, he said, these are beasts. And he said, some of them are brute beasts, made to be taken and burned. And the Bible said, all of the world wondered after the beast. What does it mean? It means that all of the world will wonder after the flesh. For the flesh is the beast. All of the world will wander after the flesh. It'll wander after the fashions of this world. It'll wander after the sports of this world. It'll wander after the monetary values of this world. It'll wander after the conveniences of this world. All of the world is wandering after the beast. They'll be heady in the last days. Heady means intellectual. They'll be high-minded, intellectually speaking, wanting to live high on credit. Not living on their normal means. They'll be high-minded in that they don't want to stay on earth. They want to go to the heavens. But listen. The Bible said, though thou climbest up to heaven, I will cast thee down to hell. Are you listening? Said, though thou makest thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down. Do you know that when they set that little rocket on the moon, they call that the nest? Are you listening? They call that the nest. And they set that little nest among the stars. Many hundreds of years ago, God spoke of it. And so, though thou climbest up to heaven and maketh thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. Why did God say that? Because he didn't intend for man to mess around up there. He said, you subdue the earth, multiply and replenish the earth, and have dominion over the earth. He said, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. You take care of the footstool and I'll take care of the throne. But Satan can't rest. Satan working in the minds of humanity through the old twisted tree of intellect. He is trying to get back into heaven. He's been cast out. Jesus said, I beheld him as lightning cast out of heaven. Revelation 12 said, and there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels made war, and Lucifer and his angels made war. And the Bible said Lucifer and his angels prevailed not, for Michael and his angels cast the devil out into the earth and said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Lucifer is among you. Listen just a minute, we're going to close. John, Revelation 12. John said, I saw a great wonder in heaven. I saw a woman. She had her feet on the moon. I saw a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was clothed with the sun. He said, and I saw her in great travail, bringing forth a man child. And I saw a red dragon laying there, waiting to devour that man child just as quick as he was born. And all of a sudden, the child was born. And when the dragon reached for him, that child was caught up into heaven. He was caught up into heaven. And Michael rose up, the great angel of God, rose up with his army, and they fought, and the angels of Satan prevailed not, and they were cast out of heaven. And the Bible said there was no more place found in heaven for them. You know, as in heaven, so in the earth. God always gives typical things. Paul spoke of types and shadows. He called them allegories that pointed, natural things that pointed to spiritual things. Natural things that would happen at a certain time. That is to say, if we've got a spiritual understanding, we can see the spiritual moving by looking at the natural things that God will tell us in the earth. There was a woman in heaven. Now listen. There was a woman in heaven. We don't have time to go into all of this tonight. I hope you'll come back so that we can explain some things that's going to leave questions in your mind. But I want to say this anyway. There was a war in heaven. There was a woman in heaven. What heaven was she in? The second heaven. She was not in the third heaven. Paul said he was caught up into the third heaven. But here the woman was in the second heaven. Did you know that the devil is in heaven? I said, did you know that the devil is in heaven? Because of the grace at Calvary, grace covers all of humanity because of the blood. And people that do not love God have the spirit of the devil in them. And they are subject to the grace of God through that human body. Do you know that in the days of Job that Lucifer went before God? And did you know that Revelation 12, John said, I saw a great wonder in heaven. The devil was in heaven. The red dragon was in heaven. All because of grace. The blood on the seat of atonement. The devil can get into people. And Christ can get into people. And did you know there's sons and daughters of God that has Christ in them? And there's sons and daughters of the devil that have the devil in them? Did you know that? And listen, John said, I saw this great wonder and this child was born. And said this child was caught up into another heaven. Even the third heaven. Brother Paul, that great church, going up into the third heaven. What a beautiful sight it was. And the woman, the Bible didn't say she was cast out of heaven. Said she just had a place in the wilderness that was prepared for her. For times, time and a half a time. Or those 3 years and a half of the reign of Antichrist. This woman fled into the wilderness. There she had a place prepared. Grace of God was still with her. Which means she was still in heaven. Because God's grace was still with her. But did you know in Revelation 12, Lucifer was cast out of heaven. And the reason is because in Revelation 8, there was a great silence in heaven, and the blood come off of the seat of atonement, and there was no more grace, and people that are filled with the devil had no more grace. Therefore, there were no more in heaven, and the devil could be no more in heaven because he could not live in grace, because those sinners could not be in grace anymore. Thus, he was cast out of heaven. Did you know that when we look typically, there is the woman. She's put her feet on the moon. How many of you know that Miss America has put a foot on the moon? They emphasize the postage stamps. And there's the lady with her feet on the moon. And did you know she's in great travail, trying to bring forth her great leader? As a matter of fact, when Jimmy Carter was in office, they called him J.C. or Jesus Christ. Painted him a little beard. Are you following me? Travailing, trying to bring forth a man-child. A ruler of the nation. A ruler of the world. But did you know at the same time that Jimmy Carter was in office, that murderer and killer came out of China? And did you know that Chinese dragon, as we say, that communistic dragon laid right in there to devour our leader here in America and was principally the cause of the people rejecting Jimmy Carter? Communism shooting for the moon. The race for the power of conquest. The lady's got her foot on the moon. It said she had the stars over her head, Miss America. She was in great travail. America's in a great stress right now. She's groaning. She's inside. She is filled with the child of God. On the inside, she's carrying the child of God. When Mary went up to be taxed with Joseph, the Bible said she was heavy with child. She's carrying the child of God, the church. She's in travail. But did you know that the rapture, as we say, is close at hand? Did you know that the translation is close at hand? Did you know the change is close at hand? Did you know that we're getting ready to go out of Egypt? That this great, wonderful travail is taking place and God is about to deliver her of her man-child. The Bible said it was caught up to the third heaven. And brother, it's going to be war in heaven. For the Bible said the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. And I want to remind you again tonight, when the Bible said that they shall rise and take the kingdom, it does not mean the kingdom of God. Brother, we've already got the kingdom of God within us. But the Bible said they shall rise and take the kingdoms of this world. And they will overthrow the powers of this world. And they will possess the kingdoms of this world forever and ever. And the Bible said as quick as that man-child was caught up, Lucifer went out. And the voice cried out, and it said, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God, and he shall rule and reign forever and ever. Have you made the preparation? Has the blood been applied to the doorpost? Are you ready to meet Jesus tonight? The world is wondering after the beast. Now listen, this sounds a little crude. But you know, in the world, they got a little saying. They say, tell it like it is. God tells it like it is. You say, how is it, Brother Pike? We'll tell you the way God said it. The Bible said, and God put the beast on his belly. Or he turned that beast into a serpent. When old Brother John come, he said, you generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath of God? Now listen, the Bible said God put him on his belly. And then came right along and the prophet said, all of your labor is for your belly because your belly crazed it. Said, you are a generation of vipers and you're on your belly. And all of your labor is for your belly, for the dust of this earth. For dust shalt thou eat, from the dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt return. And all of thy labors for thy belly, because it craves it of you. And I say this a lot of times, not to be comical, but to tell it like it is, to where you can understand it. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that all of my labors for my belly? If you are not a child of God and you're not serving God, all of your labors for your belly. Now listen, God says that is the beast, that is the serpent, that is the one that all the world will wonder after. All of your labors for your belly. It sounds crude, but that's the way God said it. That's the only way we can understand it. The truth shall make you free. You work to get money that you might buy an automobile. And why do you get an automobile? So so you can ride your belly over to the hamburger shop, so you can take some of the money from your labor to buy you a hamburger and a milkshake, and then you take that car that you bought from the money which is your labor, and you ride that belly over to a bed that you bought from the money of your labor, and you enter into a house that you built or bought from the money of your labor, and you ride that belly over to that house and into that house and lay that belly on that bed so that belly can rest, so that belly can get up in the morning and it can start riding all over again. And you are in a wilderness going around and around. And if you get education, you get education so that you can make more money, so that you can have the labor to feed your belly the more and make your belly the more comfortable, until the day that they dig a 6-foot hole and lower your belly down in the earth and throw the dirt over. All of your labors for your belly, because your belly craves it of you. Brother, tonight, I want to labor for the meat that don't perish. I want to labor for Jesus. I want to labor for something outside of my belly. I want to labor for the Son of God and an eternal life and an eternal heaven. I want to labor for that great, wonderful riches that will never perish and pass away. Hallelujah. When they come to feed Jesus, they wanted to give him something to eat. He said, I'm sorry. I can't eat that right now. He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. He said, for my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My beloved friend tonight, what are you laboring for? Are you of the beast tonight? Are you on the belly tonight? Are you of the generation of vipers tonight? Or have you been born again? If you have the sentence of death in you, that God will smite you as the firstborn? Or have you been born again? Are you that secondborn tonight that is of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that has escaped the corruptions of this world, that's been translated by faith into the marvelous kingdom of God? Are you that one that God hath chosen out of this world and hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received? That is to say, your inner man, your inner spirit. Is your body dead tonight by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, buried in the water in the name of our Lord? And is your spirit gone back to God who gave it, in the sense of being translated into the marvelous kingdom of God? Is it preserved from sin and corruption and death? While they're playing on the organ tonight, I hope that perhaps something has been said tonight that would be of interest to you. Perhaps being enlightening to you, or programming your mind tonight in a way that might help you. I love you tonight. Jesus loves you tonight. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He loves you tonight. He loves you tonight. Jesus loves you tonight. He loves the American people. He loves the Chinese people. He loves the Japanese people. He loves the German people. He loves the white man. He loves the black man. He loves every nationality, every creed, every color. He loves man and woman alike, boy and girl alike. Jesus loves you tonight. He extends a hand to you to invite you into the kingdom of God. He extends a hand to you, a nail-riven hand, to show you his love. He said to the people, said, look at my hands. Thomas, look at my side. Look at my hands. He said, do you know I've engraved you in the palms of my hands by way of remembrance that I might not forget you, folks? Jesus said, you see the nail prints? The prophet said, I've engraved you in the palms of my hands that I might not forget you. I want to be sure that I remember you. He said, so I just engraved in the palms of my hand to show you my love so that I wouldn't forget you. Jesus loves you tonight. Jesus loves you tonight. No one ever did that for you. No one ever did that. Mother never loved you that way. Daddy never loved you that way. No one ever loved you that way. And Jesus loves you. So then, while they're playing tonight, I want you to step out. Come down, hit the altar. If you've got problems tonight, if you've got sickness tonight, if you need to be born again tonight, if you haven't made everything right with Jesus, if you haven't made that divine commitment, my beloved brother, sister, my friend, won't you come tonight?
Won't you come tonight? Let's sing this little chorus. Into my heart. We sing it last night. Oh, come in to my heart. Come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Lord Jesus, come in today. Oh, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Can you say it? Sing it with me. Come into my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Can he come into your heart tonight? Come in to my heart, sweet Lord Jesus. Can you invite him in tonight? Just come in today. Oh, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Now while they're playing, I want you to come up to the altar tonight. Come on up to the altar tonight. Come on, folks. Come on. Come on up to the altar tonight. We're making preparations to get out of Egypt tonight. We're making preparations to get out of Egypt tonight. Come on up tonight. I know you want to come. I know the devil's talking to you. You know, somebody says, Brother Pike, I'm just not coming because I don't want to come. Let me tell you something now. Listen at me. No, that isn't it at all. It isn't that you don't want to come. Your heart is bursting to come. Your spirit is crying out to come. But see, there's something that's got you bound. There is a power that's intellectually got you bound that's talking you out of it. There is a spiritual power that's got your mind tonight that's bigger than you are. And it's telling you that you don't need to come. And it's telling you that you better not come. And it's giving you all the reasons why you shouldn't come. And it's out talking you tonight because it has you bound tonight. That is the spirit and power of death. That is the spirit and power of death tonight. The thing to do is override it. Call upon the name of Jesus. Get Jesus to help you break that thing. And just step right out and come on anyway. Show that you can overcome it tonight. By the power of Christ tonight you can do it. Let's lift our hands up in love. Let's just praise Him for a few minutes. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you feel Him tonight? Don't you feel Him tonight? Let the wonderful Spirit of God break the yoke tonight. For the anointing will break the yoke. If you committed any sins, it shall be forgiven you. And the Bible said the prayer of faith will save the sick. God will bring healing to your body tonight. Did you know that I feel faith here tonight out of some of you? And I feel the power of God to heal. The Bible said Jesus was preaching and the power of God was present to heal. And I feel the presence of God here tonight to heal. If you'll turn your faith into the hands of God, if you'll lift up your heart in God tonight, Jesus will do something for you. I'm glad to see this little sister stand up here tonight. Last night I looked out there and saw her and her heart was just crying out to come up, but she wasn't dressed right. And she wouldn't come. But she went away and she dressed differently. And tonight she come and here she stands before God tonight. Let's love Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. I feel the great Spirit of God, don't you? I feel the love of God, don't you? I feel the healing of God, don't you? I can feel God moving tonight. I can feel God's Spirit breaking the yoke tonight. I can feel God going down within your heart into the innermost being tonight, rooting out all corruption. God is talking to your spirits tonight, talking to your soul tonight. And beloved brother, sister, He's doing something for you. The blood has been applied. The night's getting darker.
and darker. And the Bible said gross darkness shall cover the people. And the darkness is getting greater and greater and greater. And the death angel is beginning to move through the night. And people are being killed everywhere. Wars are breaking out everywhere. Diseases are breaking out everywhere. There's all kinds of things going on. Murderers, hideous people, people filled with dope. It's everywhere. And death is in the land, and Jordan is overflowing its banks. It's the time of harvest tonight. It's that great hour when the death angel is beginning to move through the night. And beloved friend, let me tell you tonight, as it moves through the night, we are getting ready to go out of Egypt. We are getting ready to go out of Egypt tonight. The blood's been applied tonight. Have you dedicated your heart, dedicated your life? Have you dedicated your spirit tonight to God? Have you given yourself wholly unto Christ tonight? Oh, hallelujah. That great power, that great spirit, that great leadership, that great God tonight's in your midst. And God is healing tonight. God is healing tonight. God is healing tonight. If you'll believe tonight, if you'll believe tonight, God will heal you tonight. If you'll believe tonight, God will heal you tonight. If there's sickness in your body tonight, God will take it out. If you need healing in your body tonight, God will heal you, because I feel His Spirit here. I feel faith here tonight. Let's lift our hands up and love Him, Christian friend. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let's praise Him tonight. Let's love Him tonight. Let's lift our hands up and love Him tonight. Let's believe tonight. While I pray for you tonight, let's believe. Father of heaven, I ask in the name of the Son of God tonight that you stretch out your healing hand. Father, you said if I bless him, you'll bless him. If I curse him, you'll curse him. That whosoever I bless would be blessed. Whosoever I curse would be cursed. Whatever I bind on earth, you'll bind in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth, you'll loose in heaven. I'm asking you to loose the sins from these people tonight. I'm asking you to loose the bondage from these people tonight. I'm asking you to heal the bodies of these people tonight. I'm asking you to cast the devils out of the lives of these people tonight. Break the bondage from off of these people. And break the bondage from off of Apalachicola. And break the bondage off of the surrounding areas, God. And drive back the powers and the demons and the evil spirits. And let the people go free tonight. I ask you, God, to anoint them with your great and wonderful power tonight. To heal their bodies to where they can testify to the glory of the living God. Hallelujah.